Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The open conflict between Israel and Iran enters its fourth day today, with the Israeli capital Tel Aviv and the port city of Haifa being struck by missiles overnight. The Iranian health ministry says at least 224 people have been killed in attacks there. Well, for his analysis of the situation, I'm joined by Jim Muir, Middle East correspondent based in Beirut. Jim, thank you for being with us. Now, this morning, China became the latest country to offer to mediate. What's your assessment of the strength of Iran's response so far and the damage then that has been inflicted on Israel?
Well, I think perhaps the Israelis are a bit surprised by Iran's ability to keep firing missiles towards, these are of course, you know, ballistic missiles towards Israel, despite the pounding that Iran has taken since this thing was launched overnight, Thursday, Friday. So it does look like this is just going to go on and on for the time being, because Iran maybe on the ropes, but it's certainly not completely out of contention. The Israeli military are now saying that they've taken out one third of Iran's missile launching pads since Friday. That's 120 in total, they're saying. And in their latest attacks on Iran, they're saying they were concentrating on the Isfahan area, that's south of Tehran, using 50 warplanes and taking out 20 Iranian missiles minutes before they were supposedly about to be fired against Israel. So, as you say, the total casualties that the Iranians have announced, and this is a slightly old figure, so it's probably gone up since then, 224 killed. On the Israeli side, another wave of missiles hitting them this morning early, 8 killed there, mainly in Haifa, which is a coastal city, bringing the total in Israel since Friday to 23 killed. So it's roughly 10 Iranians being killed for every Israeli, but the Israeli Defense Minister has said that the residents of Tehran will pay the price for the Israeli casualties, and that price will be exacted very soon. It seems the Israelis, according to some reports, are about to start issuing the kind of warnings to residents in Tehran that they did here in Beirut last year, and in fact, indeed, last week, they had a reprise of that, and in Gaza, where they nominate specific buildings that are going to be destroyed and tell civilians in the area to get out. So mm-hmm. we could have that kind of really frightening scenario being inflicted on Tehran.
I see there's a report coming in from Iran now, and the media there claiming that a hospital in the country's west has suffered serious damage after an Israeli strike this morning. A little earlier, they said an entire fire service unit was wiped out. It's just so difficult, isn't it, Jim, to verify these reports?
Absolutely, yes, we can't really, unless we see, you know, convincing footage of it on social media and so on. The biggest hit that the Iranians have reported was yesterday, when they say a 14-story residential building block was brought down, with, I think it was 40 people killed outright, big one, and 60 killed, and including quite a number of children and women, and 300 wounded in that one incident alone. So I'm not sure we're getting a full picture, but we're getting little bits of it. And obviously, Tehran and other parts of Iran are taking quite a pounding. And when they're after figures, particular targets, like military commanders, etc., or nuclear scientists, they're not stopping short of hitting residential buildings, because that's where these people would be sleeping, and that's where they tend to get them.
Mm-hmm. So where do you see this going? I mean, I spoke about the offers of mediation coming from China, coming from Russia. We know how the Iranians feel now about Donald Trump, and he has been compromised further. I suppose the level of mistrust that Iran has expressed now has ratcheted up another bit because of his suggestion that he wasn't backing Israel, but then Israel claiming that he was well aware of what was happening and so on. So where does this go in terms of negotiation and mediation, in your view?
Well, I think the slightly positive little tiny chink of hope is that Iran hasn't ruled out going back to the talks with the Americans. So don't forget, there were 5 rounds of talks pretty much direct, actually, just with Oman mediating, but between Iran and the Americans up until now. And there was supposed to be a sixth round yesterday, but of course that didn't happen. But the Iranians are saying they're not going to go back to the negotiating table as long as the war is continuing. In other words, they seem to be saying that they'd still be willing to go back and talk with the Americans when the Israelis stop and when they themselves have stopped responding to the Israeli attack. So that is a slightly positive a slightly positive kind of chink, as it were. But in the meantime, there is no real sign that the Israelis are tending to call this off anytime soon. This has been years and years in the preparation and planning. I'm sure Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, did not launch this in order to be called off by anybody, unless, of course, President Trump should get the bit between his teeth, decide that enough is enough, or unless Iran signals that it is ready to meet Israel's demand that it give up any enrichment of nuclear fuel. Iran so far, and the president, Pezeshkian, repeated this morning to the Iranian parliament, Iran is insisting on its right to peacefully exploit low-grade uranium for energy purposes. That is its right under the Non-Proliferation Treaty, to which Iran, but not Israel, is a signatory. So as I say, there is kind of deadlock. At the moment, there's no sign that any kind of mediation would work. Russia has been ruled out by the French and others as a mediator. China is not really a very credible mediator. It's really only President Trump who, if he gets the bit between his teeth and insists, could get the Israelis to call off. But I don't think they're in any mood to do that.
Jim, thank you so much for your analysis. Jim Muir there, who is a Middle East correspondent based in Beirut. Kevin McPartland, CEO of Fuels for Ireland, is on the line. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Claire.
We're looking now at how this might impact us here in the short to medium term. How vulnerable are the transport routes for oil out of the Middle East in the midst of all of this?
Well, they are indeed vulnerable. And if we think that the Strait of Hormuz, which is on the coast of Iran, about 20% of global oil movements go through that strait. So you can imagine how any unrest there would have an impact on global supply lines. But it's important to say that what that impact actually means is really about price rather than availability. We have, what we sell are globally fungible products and they can be sourced from all over the world. So while there may be changes into where we get fuel from and there may be changes to the price of fuel, there's no real concern that there's going to be any lack of fuel availability at the moment.
Mm-hmm. But it's going to be more expensive, is what you're saying.
Well, we've already seen the risk is being factored into the market already. So if you look at in the last 7 days on wholesale markets, and that's before we put on the tax that the government requires us to put on, that's 3 cents a litre increase on petrol and 4 cents a litre on diesel already in the last 7 days. And we haven't yet seen on the impact of the spike in Brent oil or crude prices, because the lag on that normally is about 2 to 3 weeks. So we have to factor that in. We also have to think that shipping is likely to get more expensive if people have to change routes. And then the final important thing to consider is the currency fluctuation. So in a time when there is any sort of security risk or security concerns, people tend to flee to safe haven currencies, and the dollar is still, although one wonders if that's going to continue to be the case, is still the safe haven currency that people will go to. So the dollar will get stronger. Crude oil is traded in dollars, and yet we sell to our customers in euro. So all of these things are very likely to have an impact on prices in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Can you predict what that impact will be, Kevin, if we've already seen the 4 cent and the 3 cent going on the petrol and diesel before the impact of this is seen at all? What might it look like?
It would really be a fool who would give you a prediction of what that will actually mean in pounds, shillings and pence. What we can say is that if you look at the various different factors that impact on fuel prices, they all seem to be going in the wrong direction. But that's not to say, I mean, this is a very, very dynamic market. It's not to say something could change this afternoon that makes that a little bit easier. So we'll just have to see how it goes. But at the moment, those pressure points are all putting us in the wrong direction, I'm afraid.
All right, not much good news then for motorists who are still relying on petrol and diesel. Kevin, thanks for joining us. Kevin McPartland there from Fuels for Ireland.